This is Fresh Air. The Ref is a new comedy about a dysfunctional family. My guest is the director, Ted Demme. He used to work at MTV, where he created the popular hip-hop show Yo MTV Raps. At MTV, he also directed spots with comic Dennis Leary. The Ref stars Leary as a burglar on the lam. He takes a married couple as his hostages so he can hide out in their house. What an awful place that turns out to be. The husband and wife, played by Kevin Spacey and Judy Davis, bicker constantly. And to make matters worse, it's Christmas Eve, and the extended dysfunctional family is coming to dinner. Here's Leary sizing up the home of his two neurotic captives.
Nice. You rich?
No. Oh, oh God, no.
Not really.
No.
Antiques like this ain't cheap.
Oh, I run an antique store in town. These are all from the
shop. It's his mother's store.
So?
Well, you made it sound like it was yours. You know, I run an antique.
I did not. I said I run it. I didn't say I own it.
Oh, come on, Lloyd.
I am the manager
of the place. Do you think he cares if you
work
for your mother?
Let's get one thing straight, okay? From now on, the only person who yells is me. Why? Because I have a gun, okay? People with guns can do whatever they want. Married people without guns, for instance, you.
Mm-hmm.
Do not get to yell. Why? No guns. No guns. No yelling. See? Simple little equation.
Ted Demme, welcome to Fresh Air. The Ref is a comedy about constant bickering. Do you have a personal frame of reference for this?
Oh, boy. I hope my mother's not listening. I do. I think we all do. I mean, one of the things that we set out in the beginning of this film was there were two real topics about the Ref that I personally loved and was ready to throw big jabs at. One was the idea of dysfunctional families, which it seems that every family is dysfunctional in some sort. I mean, if it's not you, your sister, your mother, your father, it's, you know, grandma or your uncle or somebody. And the other thing was Christmas, that we just felt it has become such an outrageous, horrible, nightmarish occasion where people just lose their minds. So the thought of being able to poke fun at those two topics was great excitement to me.
You know, since your movie is set during Christmas, you would have thought it would have been a Christmas release, but it's not.
Well, you know, that's ultimately not up to me. It's up to the ghost of Walt Disney. But, you know, I think that once we found out that the film wasn't going to be released in Christmas, they wanted it earlier so they can capitalize on Dennis Leary's kind of excitement and stuff like that. And we made it more of a background piece than the primary plot. So I think it still works.
Now, Dennis Leary stars in the movie as the burglar who ends up fulfilling his worst nightmare when he holds these guys hostage. How did you start working with Dennis Leary on MTV?
When I first got out of college, I went right to MTV. It was really kind of my first job, and I ended up staying there almost 6-7 years. And right towards the end, I had gone and seen an off-Broadway play called No Cure for Cancer that Dennis was starring in as a one-man show. And I called him up the next day and said, hey, listen, we got to talk. And we sat down and I said, I think that a lot of this stuff that you say in your show will translate great on MTV, and I could just visually see you, you know, really rapid fire, just delivering all these statements, bang, 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 bang. And we just took bits of the show and put them into 60-second spots, and then I would sit down with him and say, well, what do you think about racism? And then he'd just kind of start, you know, babbling away, and I'd write him down. And next thing you know, we did these spots, and that was really the first time we kind of worked together.
He's kind of like a rock insult comic.
He really is. It's true.
Let me play this spot that you did with him on censorship.
When it comes to the NEA, I can't say you and I can't say eat. But you know what I can say? You suck. The NEA and Tipper Gore want to censor radio and music and art and film and sculpture. Hey, censor this, okay? Don't preach to me about Jesus and the Bible. If Jesus was alive right now, he'd be listening to Ice Cube, okay? Two words, Mary Magdalene, sit down and shut up. The devil is not a rock or a rap musician. The devil is tall and white and has an unbelievably huge nose, and his name is Barry Manilow, okay? Judas Priest on trial because kids committed suicide. Let me get this straight. Heavy metal fans are buying heavy metal records, taking the records home, listening to the records, and then blowing their heads off with shotguns? Where's the problem? That's called an unemployment solution, folks. It's natural selection. It's the bottom of the food chain. Why don't Two Live Crew albums have a This Music Sucks label on it? Why isn't there a Shoot Me, I'm Old sticker on every piece of Don Henley's work? Huh? If it was up to Tipper Gore in the NEA, you know what you'd be watching on MTV right now? This. I think you hear me knocking, Tipper, and I think I'm coming in, and I got Ice-T, T-Monk, Miles Davis, Axl Rose, Elvis Presley, Keith Richards, Public Enemy, and a stack of Marshall amps with me.
Now, how did you work with Dennis Leary in developing a visual style for his verbal raps?
Well, I think that Dennis really dictated what the visual style was. I mean, the thing that I wanted to do was I knew I wanted these spots to be very, very fast-paced and quick-cut because his delivery was so fast. So I thought the thing that would be great was to always have the camera moving. Let's always keep the camera moving. Let's keep Dennis moving. Let's always let the eye be assaulted by Dennis, where he's coming right at us, or he's going left to right, and have him always talking. And what I do is I just let the camera run and just have the cameraman go back and forth with him, and eventually we just end up jump-cutting a lot of the takes.
Well, the cuts happen real fast. There's a lot of cutting on these 60 seconds, on these short spots. And in a way, that's real MTV style, to keep the cuts coming at you.
Absolutely. I mean, MTV kind of created that fast-paced style. And so I just really knew in my heart that when I first saw his stuff, that it was a perfect medium for MTV.
My guest is Ted Demme. He directed the new film comedy, The Ref. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. Ted Demme is my guest. He directed the new comedy, The Ref. You created Yo MTV Raps, MTV's rap show. And until MTV got a rap show, MTV was accused in many ways of being an almost apartheid-type station because there was so little black music and rap on it. What gave you the idea of starting a rap show on MTV?
When Yo MTV Raps started to come about in my mind was when MTV started wanting to do more long-form programs. They had a few shows on the air like Club MTV and Remote Control that were half-hour shows that MTV really didn't have. They just had music videos at the time. So Peter Daugherty, who was my supervising producer at MTV, was also good friends with Rick Rubin and a few other guys in the rap industry at the time, and I just asked him to help me put a pilot together. And after a few times we got shot down, because they didn't think it was going to be accessible enough. Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince came out with Parents Don't Understand. That was a real kind of poppy hit back then, back in 88, I guess. And MTV loved that clip. And then suddenly they were like, okay, why don't we see what this rap thing's all about? And they let me do a pilot. So I got Run DMC to be the host of the pilot. And we shot a real low-budget 60-minute pilot that did an enormous number ratings-wise. And we started with a half-hour show about 2 weeks later.
Describe the style you came up with for the program.
Well, the style that I wanted in the beginning was really just to expose the artists and put as many artists on the show as possible. We got Fab Five Freddy to be our first host, and he's really the biggest rap aficionado of all time. And what I wanted to do was keep the show on the street. So we never shot in a studio. We never shot indoors for the first year, and we always had a guest on the show. So it looked immediately different from any show that was already on MTV because all the shows originated from a studio and just had a single host. So it was kind of cool in that sense that we looked different than MTV, other than the color of the hosts that were on our show, but also in the style.
Was it a self-conscious experience at all for you to be the white director of a predominantly black program?
Well, I guess yes and no, Terry. I think in the beginning I was certainly, you know, we'd go up to, you know, on Fab Show, we'd go into some pretty hairy neighborhoods as far as I was concerned, you know, being a white guy from Long Island. You know, we'd go up to the Bronx, we'd go up to Harlem and, you know, places that I had not been too frequent of a visitor to. So it was certainly a little, you know, scary in the beginning, but Fab was great, and Fab was always the guy that would bridge you know, me to the people we were interviewing. And the success of the program over the first year, I mean, you got to remember the first year that we did Yo, groups like Public Enemy and Hammer and, you know, EPMD and all these, LL Cool J, these great rappers, this was the first time they're ever on TV. So, like, I was like the first guy that put them on TV in their minds.
You know, one thing I've noticed about rap videos is that so many of the rock videos for so many years were just had these surrealistic themes, and all the imagery would just be surrealism, the point of which I would often not get. And rap videos broke that trend. Rap videos aren't surrealistic.
It's true. Well, you know, for the first like 2 or 3 years of UMTV Raps, like I guess 88 through 90, all the record companies would literally give each rap group like $20,000 to do their video, as opposed to the 40 or 50 that every rock and roll group would get. So, you know, like, what alternative do they have then to go out on the street and shoot the video? So, you know, most every rap video that was out in the beginning was shot in the street, shot like handheld, and they'd all put their homies in the background, and, you know, it would be a real, true performance video, and the stage was the street. So it was, they were very real.
Ed Lover and Dr. Dre of UMTV Raps starred in your previous film, which was a rap comedy about the worst barbers in Harlem who become who become the unlikeliest cops in Harlem.
That's right.
And it was called Who's the Man? And why don't I just play the scene in which they're let go from the barbershop.
Okay.
For the last 6 months, all I've been getting is complaints about your haircuts. I asked you to straighten up. You haven't done it. You two are the worst barbers in Harlem.
What you trying to say, Nick?
I have to let you go.
Fine. Oh, come on, nigga. Come on, nigga. Ain't nothing happening. Nothing happening.
I'm serious. You boys have got to find careers for yourselves. I was just reading in the paper today, the police force is hiring brothers.
The police? Nick, Ain't trying to be the man. Dre, you trying to be the man?
I am not trying to be the man.
See that, Nick? Dre don't want to be the man. I don't want to be the man. Nobody here wants to be the man, Nick.
Give me one reason.
Rodney King!
It's a job, boys.
That's too violent, Nick, man. We're not doing that.
You're always watching karate movies.
Yo, man, those Bruce Lee movies are BS, man. But when you the man, people really shoot at you.
How did this movie come about?
This movie came about in a number of ways. I was kind of at the point of my MTV career where I started to feel like I had done just about everything I could have done at MTV. And Charlie Stettler, who was Dr. Dre and Ed Lover's manager at the time and also produced some Fat Boy movies and stuff, started to put a package deal together over at New Line, including me, to be the director. And at the same time, I had just finished a short film that I directed, and New Line had used that kind of as their calling card to give me the opportunity to direct Who's the Man. And basically because the one big catch was that I said, listen, I can get about 50 rappers to come down for scale. You know, they're going to do me the favor to come down and be in this film. So that was, I think, the final straw that they said, all right, let's give him a few mil and let's see what happens. So it worked out that way.
What did you and what didn't you want to use from rap video style in your movie?
Well, I wanted the Who's the Man to look like a movie. I didn't want it to look like a rap video, or a video for that matter. You know, so I wanted to also put some of the rappers in roles that they hadn't played previously in either their videos or in other movies. So the main thing I wanted to make Ed and Dre look like movie stars of some sort and give them, you know, real scenes with real dialogue and different angles and close-ups and all that stuff. I didn't want it to look like a video.
Have you ever directed videos yourself?
Yes.
Which ones did you direct?
I did probably not the best videos of all time. I did Salt and Pepper's first two or three videos. I did their first video that was called Push It. And a few other ones after that. I did a Kid and Play video. I became very good friends early on with Salt, Peppa, and Kid and Play. And then actually recently I did a video with my Uncle Jonathan for the Bruce Springsteen clip of Philadelphia that was from the movie Philadelphia. That was a lot of fun.
Now Jonathan Demme, the director of such films as Philadelphia, Silence of the Lambs, Married to the Mob, he's your uncle, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Were you close to him?
Yes. Still was and still am. He's been like a big brother to me for many years. He's my dad's brother, and you know, growing up, he was my Uncle John. And then once I got a job at MTV, I think he thought it was really kind of cool that his younger kind of brother was working at this hip rock and roll channel because he's a big music fan, this and that. And at that point, we started to become a little closer, and he became a little bit more than an uncle. He kind of became a manager slash agent slash confidant slash uncle. Yeah.
When you were getting a job at MTV, did it help you at all to have the last name Demme?
Well, you know, who knows? You know, maybe subconsciously and whoever hired me at the time, I don't think so because it was at such a low level. When I first started trying to get a job in the industry, I purposely didn't go to Jonathan and ask him for a job, and I think he appreciated that because, you know, that's just always an awkward thing. I really wanted to go out and get something on my own. So, you know, who knows? I'm sure it didn't hurt, certainly, but I'd like to think that it wasn't the reason I got the job.
Was it thrilling to you when your uncle became a well-known director? And I mean, before you started working in movies yourself, you know, most of us don't have family in the entertainment industry, and it all seems very foreign to you when you're growing up.
Right. Well, you know, Terry, the thing is, when I was growing up, Jonathan's movies were always very kind of underground and cultish as mm-hmm. opposed to big box office smashes. And it made him even cooler in my eyes, because he was such a really kind of, you know, somehow or another, when you grow up, your uncles or your aunts always become, you always want to go hang out with them a little bit more than you do your parents, because you can do things with them that you can't do with your parents, you know. So I always, like, loved to hang out with Jonathan anyway. I thought he was just a great guy. And then when he started making films and I could go onto one of his sets and stuff, I just really was totally blown away by it and just thought, like, the cool factor as a kid, you know, just right. Basically on the cool factor was very high, and didn't even know if what I wanted to do, you know, then just knew that I loved being around the stuff he was doing. And quite honestly, it wasn't like I was around him 24 hours a day. But once I started to get a career, it became a little more real for me in terms of not just he's like the cool uncle that, you know, that I just love to hang with, but wow, this guy's a really great film director and he's my uncle, you know, and it's really exciting.
Ted Demme directed the new film comedy, The Ref. This is Fresh Air.